You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Laura. It is great to hear your voice. It is a beautiful Friday afternoon in Orange County, California.
I know. It really is. So, and Dad, I have to tell you, I am like really getting used to and loving having you guys out here.
Well, I'm glad because we're not going anywhere.
Yeah, you did try to get that really nailed
That's
down
right.
before.
Yes. I had many serious talks with your husband about you better not move once we get out there.
Oh, man. But it was so nice. Like last night, going out with Adam and seeing the new Marvel movie, Shang-Chi, and the kids just like had so much fun with you guys. It's so awesome having you here. I'm so glad you guys moved out.
Well, it was a wonderful time last night. All three of your kids were just in great places, and Sadie especially was just her joyful, effervescent, never know what she's going to say or do next kind of mode. So it was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, good. Well, they sure enjoy you. Okay, so Dad, I'm going to have you introduce today's topic. So can you start us off by telling us, who do you pray for on Saturdays?
Well, Saturdays is a big time for me in terms of just my structured prayer life. I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago, I got in mind that I should come up with prayer cards and have a different card for each day. And then mm-hmm. as we moved into digital times, I now have these digital prayer cards that are linked to my Google Calendar. And so each day of the month, I press on it and tells me what to pray for. So on Saturdays, I pray for all of the folks that throughout the years of my life, I have served as a mentor. And these are people now for, 45 years. I don't know, maybe more than that, years ago. So there's a fair number of them in the cards. And I just go through each name, and I don't pray an individual thing for each one of them unless it comes to mind. But mm-hmm. I have some general things that I pray for all of them. And then as I see one of their names and I remember something that I've heard from them recently about how they're doing or challenges they're facing, I pray for those particular. But I think on those Saturdays, when I pray through those names, it's such a great time to focus me to think about them all again, mm-hmm. but then also to just think about just the grace and kindness of God in bringing me to know them to know me, and the friendship that God began through a mentoring relationship with each of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really neat. Okay, so this is like such a small thing, but I'm just curious because I've had like, a group that I'm praying for before, and I was going to ask you, so like, do you like, you read through every name on the list in your mind and then pray for them as a group? Is that how you personally
yes.
do it? Okay.
Yes.
That's
I've got
cool.
each name listed out, and they're roughly in chronological order of
oh, that's cool.
when
huh.
I met them. So also, a number of them are clustered. If I was mentoring several people that knew each other, then they kind of were clustered in the same time, usually.
Man, that's really neat. Well, and it must be neat over time to be able to, yeah, like you said, like groups, like the Matt Sweeney, like, and Matt mm-hmm. Walker, like that group, like kind of thinking of all that God's done in their lives since then. That's a really neat.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So good.
Well, and that's also really neat because I know I personally, I think I've said this to you before, but I've always thought like, I wonder if when I get to heaven, I'll find out like how many of the good things and like blessings that God gave in my life came through like you or you and mom, you know, like praying mm-hmm. for me over time. And just to think about, that's just such a neat thing to be invested in these mentees' lives over time. And I just wonder, it's just neat to think about all that God may have done through that. So I guess tell me a little bit more, like, why do you do this? Why is this so important to you?
Well, it's interesting with all the guys, and I only mentor men, but with only all the men I've mentored, I've always done it with the mindset of, you know, I'm your mentor now, but I'm going to be your friend for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And it's the idea of, yeah, now is a good time for us to be in a mentoring relationship, but my thought is God has brought us to know each other for more than just, you know, this 6-month period or 1 or 2 year period. He's brought us to know each other for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so as I've thought about how I can continue to be friends with these men,
yeah,
you know, they're busy, I'm busy. And so, and we don't even live around each other most of the time. So there's not the chance of hanging out or even really the chance of just real regular phone calls or web meetings. But it occurred to me that I could always pray for them and that I could be lifting them up. And in fact, one of the passages, and I know we're going to get to some passages in a minute, but one of the passages that helped me with that was in Exodus, I think 17, where Moses goes to Joshua, and I think it's the Amalekites, one of their enemies, is coming to attack them. And so Moses says, okay, you go pick the men who you're going to lead in battle to fight against the Amalekites, and I'm going to go up on the hill overlooking the battlefield, and I'm going to be lifting my hands in prayer to God for you.
Wow.
And so as the story goes, Joshua goes out and leads them in battle. And as Moses' hands are lifted up in prayer, then Joshua prevails. And as his hands begin to droop, Joshua begins to lose in battle. And Aaron, and I think it was Hur, got on each side of Moses and just kept his hands lifted up in prayer so that Joshua would prevail. And prevail he did, and he won. And that was the picture that I think God gave me, that, you know,
wow, that's awesome.
The mentoring relationship is going to come to an end, and that's as it should be. But your role in their life as their friend and as their brother in Christ can be ongoing. And one of the things you can do is to pray for them. And so I'm not a part of their daily life. I'm not a part of regular communication with many of them. But every Saturday, by God's grace, I can read through their names again and think about them and pray for them. And that not only seems like what I ought to do, it's really like it's thrilling in my heart that I get to do that, that I get to still be a part by praying for them.
Yeah, man, that is really, like, that's such a powerful story. And yeah, like you're saying, like, such a privilege that, like, over a period of time, just to, you know, you had a stamp on their life in one season and to be able to continue to be invested. That is really, I love that. So I know you said that with some of, with most of your mentees, you know, you can't talk with all of them on the phone every week. But I do know that some of your mentees have become lifelong friends. I mean, recently we talked with Gordon Blocker, who's definitely in that category. So I'd just love to hear a story or two of one of these mentees who has now become a lifelong friend.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because there definitely is a spectrum, say, of depth of friendship with these men that I've mentored through the years. And yet I would say with pretty much all of them, I believe there is still a bond between us. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I think with pretty much every one of them, if I were to call them, they would be glad to hear from me and want to engage. And I think pretty much with every one of them, they know that if they ever needed my help, that they could reach out to me and that I would care, that I would want to be a part. And so though there is variance in terms of depth of friendship, I think that pretty much with, you know, throughout the, again, 45 years or however long I've been doing this, there's just been a bond that's formed in those relationships. But a couple that came to mind, and you've mentioned, I guess, one of these, are three guys, Matt Walker, Gordon Blocker, and James Morgan. I got to know Matt and James when they were undergrads at Duke. They were at Duke roughly the same time.
Yeah.
In the late 90s, early 2000s, as best I remember. And then Gordon Blocker, I actually got to know in the early to mid 90s when he was an undergrad at TCU. And the thing that's been interesting about those friendships, and again, I could, by God's kindness, I could name a bunch of others.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's neat with these is that they have become lifelong friends. And I think they still, you know, regard me as like an older brother in Christ and maybe still think of me as their mentor. But in most ways, I think it's mainly just become a brotherhood, a friendship.
Yeah.
To where they are, you know, great partners and comrades to me. They are just people who encourage me greatly, both by how they live their lives and that they care for me and that they want to know how I'm doing. And I think friendships like that, you know, when I was growing up and we were being trained about things like economics and savings and money and all that kind of stuff, you used to always hear about the amazing impact of compounding interest, and that if you invest $100 or $100,000 and just keep it invested for a long time, it's just going to blow your mind how valuable it eventually becomes because of compounding interest.
Yeah.
And I think that's how these friendships are. I think that when I met them as undergrads in their respective colleges, it was really valuable. It was really meaningful to know them.
Uh-huh.
But now, you know, 10, 20, 30, you know, almost like 40 years later, the value of the friendship now is just immense because we've known each other for so long. They and I have gone through so many of life's experiences and have shared moments of those together.
Yeah.
You kind of look back and you just feel grateful that God has given you friends with that much history and with that great of longevity. And I think about that and I think how sad it would be if we had just said, well, great mentoring relationship, basically see you in heaven kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, honestly what men tend to do. It tends to be kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And this is great, but, you know, unless something cataclysmic happens, I'll see you in heaven. And I think how much poorer I would be if I had missed the opportunity for these to not just be kind of for a time mentoring relationships, but they're actually long-term friendships.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you use the term investment because I think that's something that is so true about, like, for you, it's very much more than just like a meeting on your calendar, you know, like you really are invested. And like, I was thinking, I don't know anybody who goes to more weddings than you and Mom. Like, there'll be some summers that it's like, I mean, it's just like you guys, but I know it's not like a formula. You guys just really legitimately care and have built relationships, not only with these guys that you mentor, but then with their fiancés. And so I guess I was just wondering, like, for someone who may not be as naturally relational as you, or someone who is wanting to kind of deepen, you know, like deepen a mentoring relationship, like, I guess, do you have any thoughts of, yeah, like ways that you have invested, or yeah. I know I'm kind of springing this on you, but any thoughts? No.
Well, I think that one is just to have it as like a potentiality.
Huh.
That, okay, I'm mentoring this person now. Wonder what it would be like if we were friends for the next 30 years. And maybe that'll happen, maybe that won't happen.
Yeah.
But just wonder to where you begin to open your mind up to that, I guess, that category, that notion of maybe God didn't want it to be just for now.
Uh-huh.
Maybe God had long-term plans. So I think that, and then the way that I've conveyed it to those that I mentor is like I said earlier, you know, I'm your mentor now, but I am going to be your friend for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is, if you ever need me, if you ever need my help, if I can ever be of encouragement to you, please reach out to me. And if I'm able, I'll be your friend. And I always put that if I'm able, because it could be that they would come to me and ask for something I just couldn't give them.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And so kind of in Proverbs kind of wisdom, I do want to put a bound around, you know, if I'm able.
Yeah.
But just for them to know that my default is we're friends for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to them, and just put that in your back pocket, and the Lord will help you to know if and when you ever need that.
Uh-huh.
And so it's given with freedom. There's no expectation. There's no, you know, you better stay in touch or I'm going to feel bad about you. It's just freely given. And it's accepted, again, kind of in a spectrum of ways. With some, I hardly ever hear from them. And
yeah.
That's fine and probably pretty normal.
Yeah.
And with others, it's maybe somehow we engage every couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And then with others, it's, you know, more regular than that.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't want there to be is any sense of expectation or obligation.
Right.
I want it to be both from them and from me, just kind of a freedom and a gift rather than a burden.
Totally.
And sometimes when I tell them that, you know, I'll say, but Proverbs says that many men declare their loyalty, but who can find a faithful man? And so I'll say, so I've told you all this stuff about I'm going to be your friend for the rest of my life, but you won't really know it means anything until you ask me to do something.
Huh.
And that's when you'll know if it really means something.
Yeah.
And that's cool. I think the thing with the weddings, I think that a wedding is a huge life marker.
Like, yeah.
You know that. And so, especially if I've mentored them, you know, before they got married, then it's almost like, in my mind, kind of a sign-off event where I'm not going to go through the rest of life with them. But at this key moment, you know, I want to be there to support them, to celebrate with them.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, as I walk away from that wedding or reception, to have a sense of we've completed this in terms of me being a part of their regular life through a mentoring relationship.
Yeah.
So I think that's why we have been to so many weddings through the years.
Yeah, That's cool. Well, and I feel like you've kind of normalized this for me. And I know maybe some of your early relationships at Hope Church normalized it for you. In addition to kind of, you know, people around you examples, are there, well, I know there are. Can you share some scripture passages that have kind of shaped or modeled how you've thought about this?
Yeah, well, the Exodus 17 is certainly one that just...
Yeah, that's a really cool one.
Really important to me. But another one, and I won't give a reference on this, but all of the epistles of Paul, when at the end, he basically is like, tell all these people I said hello. And he goes through all these names.
Yeah.
And he says really particular things about them.
And
thanks them for particular things.
Yeah.
And it just causes me to see he didn't just kind of blow into town, start a church, and it's like, well, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
You know, months, years later, he's still thinking about those people.
He really loved them.
You know, and he still knows them by name. And he's still encouraging them in ways that he knows they need to be encouraged and thanking them for things they did or things he sees in them. And a couple he rebukes along the way, you know. But I think one of the things that kind of tipped me off is, I don't know about others, but I tend to think of Paul as just this triple type A, very goal-oriented, just, you know, win the world for Christ this week kind of thing. And yet you see in so many of his epistles just this deep heart in him of both love and care for the church, more importantly, love and desire for the Lord, but then also just love and care for people. And so that has been just really important. But then I think if you want to get even deeper into Paul's heart, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapters 2 and 3 and just soak in those for a while. And he basically is just talking about how much he had come to love those people. And in one verse he says, you know, like a nursing mother, we cared for you this way. And then he says, and like a father, you know, we cared for you this way. And then he gets on to about how when we could stand it no longer, he said, I was willing to be left alone here so that, I think it was Timothy, could go and find out how you're doing. He just wanted to know, how were they?
Yeah.
And so Timothy goes and he comes back and he reports to them two things. One is that they're continuing in their faith. And the second one is that there's still a place for Paul in their lives. And it's always been striking to me that those are the two things he longed to hear from them. That their faith was growing, but that also they still had a place in their heart for Paul. There was still a place for him in their lives. They still wanted him to be a part. And so then after he says how glad he was to hear that, then he goes into this whole section about, now we really live if your faith stands firm. And then he's talking about, you know, Who is the, in a sense, the glory that we will show to Christ when we go to be with him? And says, is it not you? And just talks about the depth of care that he has for these people. And so all of that together just caused me to think, you know, ministry to people sometimes is just a kind of a one and done kind of thing. And that's not bad or wrong or necessarily inferior in any way. But I think that in God's plan and in God's sovereignty and in God's sense of the family of God, mm-hmm. He also has in mind relationships that begin in a ministry context that go on for decades, and that he has purposes for decades, and that only get riper and more valuable over decades.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's those passages that have really, I guess, just opened this up to me. And now, as a guy in my late 60s, who by God's grace has been able to be a part of a fair number of people's lives, I just thank God for the goodness that has come to me through it not just being a one-off mentoring relationship, but being a lifelong friendship.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. Well, and I had no idea what 1 Thessalonians 3 said, so I just looked up that verse 6. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah, hearing you talk, like, who wouldn't want, you know, like, who wouldn't want those kinds of relationships with anyone, much less someone that they had invested in? So I guess one last question for you before we wrap up is, like, is there a downside? Like, I'm assuming it, like, time. Yeah. And probably, especially if you go to as many weddings as you guys and travel for, I'm like, there's some expense.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, what are their costs, or are there costs?
Well, long-term friendships in the life of any adult, they are costly. You know, especially if you're in what, you know, we at Leadership Edge call the go-go years of kind of your 30s and 40s, when you're having kids and expanding in your career and just kind of the craziness of 30s and 40s. So yeah, there is a cost. But, you know, looking back on it, I think, but it's far less than you would ever imagine.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a week in, week out basis, it costs me, you know, every Saturday spending a few minutes praying over all these folks. And then as God, like, bubbles up in my mind or heart that I should text one of them or call or email or whatever with one of them to do that. But it's not like you end up with hundreds of people who are endlessly on your doorstep wanting stuff. It's
right.
It's surprising. As many people in my lifetime, as I've said, as long as I'm alive, I'm your friend, let me know how I can be of help. Very few of them ever ask you for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not because there's not a relationship there, but it's more because I think the important thing isn't that they can every day be at your house wanting something. The important thing is they know you care, and they know that you're there. And in those few moments of life where they need a friend, you're there to be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there is cost. I think it is so little compared to the benefit.
Yeah.
You know, Janet and I, through the years, have always believed that people almost always come back to where they have felt sincerely loved.
Uh-huh.
And so if you, you know, by God's grace, and as you continue to grow, as you learn to, as sincerely as you know how, love people.
Yeah.
Then there is just an ongoing number of deep friendships.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I've said this in one of our podcasts, but back when Janet and I were leading the college ministry at Hope Community Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and this is way back in the day. We lived in a fairly small, pretty plain little house on Lubbock Avenue in Fort Worth, and I know you remember that house, Laura. And
I do.
And so just a few years ago, one of those former students, and again, this was 30, 35 years ago, but recently they posted a picture of that house on Facebook. And one of the responders said, "That place is one of the dearest places to me on this earth."
Aw, neat.
And I just think, how did that happen? You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't that fancy of a house, you know. I mean, we were very grateful for it, but it was just people were loved there.
Yeah.
And we didn't love them perfectly, and we had all kinds of stuff in our lives that God was rooting out. But to think that 35 years later, someone would say, "That's one of the dearest places to me on earth," that just talks about the long-term impact of ministry relationships over the years.
Yeah. Man, Dad, this is a really awesome topic. I feel like I could ask you like probably five more questions. Maybe we'll do a part two sometime. But this seems so rewarding to have these kinds of relationships. And I know, so I'm going to toss one more question in, because I know for you, as rewarding as the human relationship is, there's like something behind it or underneath it. So like, I guess I want to ask you, where do you see God in all of this? Or like, how is he the center of this? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, he certainly is the center. You know, we've said in Leadership Edge through the years that networking is a secular term for God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
It's the idea that, you know, you meet all these people, and then over time, you begin to see some of his purposes for the relationships.
Hmm.
And if you think about him that way, you see it as a kind of a sacred thing, and instead of using and smoozing, you actually are wanting to give to others. And I think that in the mentoring relationships, you know, as the mentoring goes on, you begin to see some of the reasons why God brought you together. But what you can't see then is wonder what his purpose would be 10 years from now if we continued to be friends.
Hmm.
How
yeah.
he could use it then. Like with the guys I listed earlier in the podcast, Matt, Walker, and Gordon, and James.
Yeah.
Each one of them have gone through some moments well after their college years that I was able to walk through with them.
Yeah.
And I've gone through some moments that they have walked through with me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so I think it's a deal where, yeah, if we're Christians, we're all members of God's family. And when you get to meet each other, there's no way you can imagine what his purposes would be really 10 minutes from now, much less 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see it as just an amazing kindness of God that he weaves longevity into relationships. And again, all the goodness that comes from that through the years.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing about this, Dad. I feel like this is such an interesting topic. And I think one big standout for me is when you were talking about Exodus 17 and just the idea of like people that we've had the opportunity to be involved in their lives continuing to pray. And yeah, that just is a really powerful image to me. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing everything. Can you wrap us up? But I know,
so glad for the listeners to be a part today. We always love having you learn and hopefully grow from these podcasts. And we've talked today about long-term friendship that began in a mentoring relationship. And at Leadership Edge, at the core of what we do is develop God-honoring leaders through mentoring relationships. And on a fairly regular basis, we have mentor training cohorts that are relatively very inexpensive. They're very high quality programs. And we would love for you to go to our website, learn more about our mentor training programs, and potentially sign up so that you can be equipped by us in being a God-honoring, biblically-based Christian mentor for someone. So if you're interested in that, our website is www.lead-edge.com. That's LEAD-EDGE.com. And our mentoring is all around what we call the life vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman and my spheres of influence to serve his purposes for his glory. So I hope you'll go to the website and check out the resources and the mentor training that's there.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Dad. And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.